This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We were talking about the issue of not getting enough recruits to show up in some recruit efforts by police in various areas, how New York City is going to lower standards, so maybe they'll get some more, and then the mass exodus of police officers, often because of morale and the fact that they feel that they're always going to be under attack. And joining us with his perspective, spokesman for the National Police Association, Lieutenant Dave Smith, had been previously with the Arizona State Patrol. Glad to have you with us, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Good to be here, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm great. So we were talking before you joined us about, first of all, let's begin with the New York City deciding to lower its standards on how fast you have to run in a period of time and what to carry. And they admit in part because they want more female applicants, and they might not be able to meet those standards. Your thought?
My thoughts are this is exactly the problem we have with so many of these leadership positions now. They're filled by people who are incompetent or ignorant. You know, law enforcement is basically a sedentary activity with hours and hours of driving around with suddenly you're fighting for your life. And these the stresses, the sheer volume of stress on a law enforcement officer demands that you start your career in the best level of fitness you can. We always have fitness standards here in Arizona. When I ran the physical training program at the academy, we had lots and lots of women. We never had a problem. Arizona, at that point, we were the fastest growing state in the nation. And we had plenty of female cadets pass that mile and a half run and all the other Cooper standards. And again, this is one of the problems. When you hear a chief say, well, no cop has to run a mile and a half. You're not running a mile and a half to prove it's a job task analysis. It's a fitness test. And this is one of the big fallacies that they pull this stunt. Oh, no cop has to run a mile and a half. Yeah, well, no. And that's because I'm measuring your cardiovascular fitness.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing while we're on this, before we leave it, there are numerous women in fire departments across the nation. And they have to hold the same standards as men because they might have to take someone out of a burning building or things of that nature or carry the hoses into the location.
Exactly. Fire has an advantage over law enforcement is I can do a very easy job task analysis and come up with standards that are relative to that exact job standard. Fire is a tremendous, you see heart attack victims all the time when you go over fire deaths, because you're often in extreme heat and they do these intense physical exertions. Being a firefighter is, again, very sedentary, but they get to train on duty. You know, they're very fitness oriented because they know that's so essential. The problem with cops is what is my physical requirement? Because when the great, Kenneth Cooper, the guy that literally invented aerobics, he was the leader in police fitness and wellness. He evaluated law enforcement. He said 97% of the time law enforcement is sedentary, and coming up with specific tasks is hard to do. So what the New York wants to do is just keep the specific tasks they've been able to identify and not do any of the wellness evaluation. And what's going to happen, you're going to have a lot of obese people who can't perform tasks and are going to have heart attacks. They're going to be able to perform at very low levels and medically retire. It's just going to be ridiculous.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, the military, if we're hearing, and some of my fellow Marines, they're telling me about how the Marines are doing now, that they've lowered the standard so much that they say it's a laugh. You don't have to do anything that you had to do when you went through. Every time you lower these standards, you're less equipped to deal with the enemy, be it a foreign enemy or somebody in the streets.
Exactly. The corollary is one-to-one. You know, that's the whole thing. The Marine Corps is our elite strike force, the immediate strike force. My dad, when he went to Korea with the Marines, he was a corpsman. And those guys, literally, when MacArthur got there, he realized we've got to get the Marines. Because after World War II, the Army had deteriorated their performance, but the Marines had kept faith with their standards, kept faith with their structure and their tradition. And now to hear that, it makes me, this is one of the times I'm glad my dad did not live to see the beloved Marines being treated this way.
Well, we thank him for being a devil doc, as they would call him, because they saved a lot of lives. Now, back on the police front, I also was reporting earlier that the city of Austin, they're also, like many other cities, they're short of officers. They can't get enough to come in. Who wants to put on a badge nowadays?
Exactly. You know, we don't do this for the money. Money is just a hygiene factor, to use an old standard saw. You know, it is a hygiene factor. You become a law enforcement officer because you want to have a great adventure in your life. You want to serve your community, but you also want to be respected. That's a critical part and element. We all grew up as a youngster when your parents say you get lost. You look for that police officer. You know, well, that's something that I want to grow up and be. I want to be somebody little kids would want to find if they were lost. And that's the thing now, this constant assault on our honor. And again, it's exactly the same as they're doing to the Marine Corps. The honor is under assault. And that's one of the key components when you go into these professions. And we forget how that spiritual side of every human being is so important. And politicians, not only do they dishonor law enforcement, they denigrate it constantly. And then worse, they want to take away the legal protections that all government employees have by eliminating our qualified immunity, which is not doesn't permit a cop the right to do things wrong, but it protects an officer if they do things and make a mistake and they're following policy and the law.
Now you nailed,
don't understand.
You nailed a point there I want to get into. You're listening to, by the way, to former Lieutenant Dave Smith, the Arizona State Police, now speaking on behalf of the National Police Association, that, you know, split-second decisions are what law officers have to do on a constant basis. And it's very easy to say, oh, I would have done it differently, until you're in that spot and you're facing a decision that, is that guy really have a gun? Is he going to aim it at me? And what am I going to do? I've been through some of their training, and I have to admit that I shot an unarmed man in the training at one time, or I shot a guy that was never going to aim the weapon at me. But that was not even a real situation. I knew it wasn't real.
Simulator.
And I wasn't running to get there and corner him in an alley where you're fighting your breath and everything else.
Well, that, you are so insightful, because that's exactly one of the key problems. So often the media has something we call hindsight bias, as well do our politicians. In other words, they know the ending of the story. They know that guy wasn't actually reaching for a gun. We don't know what he was reaching for, but he was reaching. And that police officer has a split second to decide, are they willing to risk that guy isn't going to pull out a gun and then possibly lose their life? And these are the kind of things, when you put these citizens in those critical shoot scenarios on those machines, it's amazing how often they just start shooting citizens right and left.
Yeah.
It's intense.
And on top of that, when you're shooting, taking out someone, you've got to be aware of the background. If there are kids and innocents behind, you can't just start opening fire. You got to be very specific.
Exactly. You know, and all that adds to the anxiety. And again, we all know anxiety narrows your perception. It's hard. That's why cops, you know, it takes about a year from the time you sign on the dotted line to be a police officer till you hit the street. Because in spite of what the media says, we train and train and train and train. That's what makes this Atlanta scenario so absurd. The leftists claim they want perfect policing, yet they want to do away with the very components that improve policing.
You're talking about burning down the Atlanta Training Center that they're trying to build so they can actually do a better job of training the officers. And they're out there trying to, those against it just want to burn it down. They don't want it in their backyard. I would want a police training academy nearby, because you're going to see more officers in the area.
You bet. And you know what? It's not just for police. You know, this is a first responder training center. It's going to improve the entire metro Atlanta area. And yet these people, again, you and I both know, this is Marxist theater. It's all it is. They're picking the spot where they can get the highest profile political theater, and then they put these stunts on, and they're counting on the county attorney not prosecuting them. That's what I hope Atlanta is not Portland when they deal with these guys.
Well, that is part of the issue, and the same issue is in St. Louis right now, is too many criminals George Soros sponsored DAs are just walking free. Now, the other thing that some folks just think, you know, the cops are out here trigger happy and they don't really care. I remember specifically, and this some years ago, an officer was going to the report of a home burglary. No big deal. He's going down the alley. He sees a kid jump over the fence right into the alley, right in front of his car, and starts running away. As he runs away, he reaches across his the officer is watching him from behind. He sees him reach into his pocket area or his waistband and pull something out and begin to spin around. And the officer fired two shots and killed him. He's a 16-year-old kid. He had stolen a little camera. He was just trying to get rid of the evidence. But the officer couldn't tell at that point, in that moment. And the officer broke down and did not last much longer on the force. It got to him that much.
No, and I tell you what, we work, you know, with a lot of these emotionally damaged officers in a group called the Wounded Blue. And, you know, this devastates you. You know, I'm just listening to it. I keep thinking back when I was, when I was with the Arizona, you know, we would hear of a shooting, and then I was part of an association where you try to get benefits and take care of the officer involved. And, you know, even when you righteously kill somebody to protect your life or the life of another, it is an intense emotional assault on you. It's so hard. And these are the kinds, the citizens don't understand this. These officers go through all this trauma. And again, when a mistake like that's made, so often we see the officer in their own career and go off and do something else. It's a tragedy.
And the other part of that tragedy is the number of officer suicides.
Boy, that's, yeah, you know, and that, again, but you could do a whole show on that, yeah, my friend, because that's a terrible tragedy and it's growing. And that's part of that. You lose faith in people and people lose faith in themselves. And this is, it's heartbreaking, that study of that, the law enforcement suicide.
What are we going to do to turn the corner? Well, what are we going to do to get officers back on the streets, more signing up and willing to take the risk of putting that badge on their chest and becoming an automatic target?
You know what I'm finding? It's more and more people are listening to people like you. This grassroots is getting tired of it. We're seeing this across the country. Grassroots people who are libertarians or were independents are now saying, look, I'm going to get out and I'm going to vote. And I'm going to go and I'm going to go to City Hall. I'm going to go to my board of supervisors. And I'm going to demand action. And you're seeing that everywhere across the board. Here in Arizona, you know, where we've had all the McCainites, you know, and everything's been so dead that, you know, we're seeing the fact that people are saying, no, we're not going to be passive. We're going to get off our couch. Democrats are saying, hey, where's my party? Why aren't we supporting the things of public safety? It's always been, this is the amazing thing. The Democrats have always been huge supporters. And this is why I want everybody in America, vote what your conscience is. Don't pick a party, pick a position. And it's people like you. You're the guys that are the clarion call, waking up the citizens. You are so important for that.
Well, I'm glad to, I appreciate that, and just one of many. But we thank you for your service, and thank you for taking time to be with us, sir.
Harry, thank you. Keep up the great job.
Thank you, sir. Again, that's former Lieutenant Dave Smith, Arizona State Patrol, speaking on behalf of the National Police Association.